microphone. WBR Fairfax Radio, I'm Sue Bartholomew. Welcome to On the Commons. On the Commons with us today, we have Richard Torpey. Richard is an attorney in Florida, and I understand that Richard usually represents and works with developers, but he also lists associations among his clients as well as homeowners. Hello, Richard, and thank you very much for joining us today.
Hello, Sue.
I am correct in saying that you usually work with developers, right?
Oh, absolutely. Primarily, I do developer work, but a necessary outcropping of that is my works with homeowners associations, and over the years, both the associations as well as the individuals that are in those associations.
So you've basically seen things from all sides.
From every side, that's right.
From the beginning all the way through, huh?
Oh yeah, you know, it's been an interesting evolution because I've been doing this now for about 16 years, and I actually started out I've also represented several local governments over the years.
Oh.
So I've pretty much seen it from every angle of permitting and where homeowners associations, traditionally are trying to fill in for the weaknesses in a lot of local zoning regulation. That was their original and their basic premises, that when local government's zoning doesn't provide adequate protection for individuals who wanted to protect their property values, the homeowners association became popular because it's in essence a contract between people who live in the community and the community itself to protect property values.
It's a contract in the sense that it's a take it or leave it. It's a contract of adhesion. It's not something that most people say, gee whiz, I really want this, or no, I don't want you telling me what color my curtains can be.
It's kind of complicated because it is and it isn't a take-it-or-leave-it situation. Of course, nobody tells you where you have to live. You don't have to live in a deed-restricted community, and you don't have to live in any particular deed-restricted community. So in that sense, you don't have to take it. You can choose wherever you want to live. But yes, if you want to live in a particular community, you must agree to live by the regulations of that community. And, when we were talking the other day on the phone, my biggest issue with homeowners associations and condominium associations, by the way, because they have the similar problems, isn't really the fact that they exist and the rules. It's that the enforcement of those rules varies depending on who's in charge of the homeowners association. I think I said to you on the phone the other day when we were first talking, I compare homeowners associations to my views on capital punishment. I'm not opposed to capital punishment, but I am opposed to the people who administer it sometimes, because you get conflicting views or conflicting enforcement. You see that all over the country and all over the state of Florida, especially in homeowners associations. And not just from one homeowners association to the next, but you can see changing enforcement criteria from one board of directors to another, and that's a real problem.
Well, I agree with you, but I want to go back to something you said originally, and you said you don't have to live in any association. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it's like where you live, but in a lot of parts of the country right now, there are mandates. For instance, where I live in Fairfax County, 90% of all housing is in an association.
Sure.
And what they're doing here is they're taking down, demolishing older existing neighborhoods that don't have associations and replacing them with, higher density association-controlled development. So I guess the choice comes down to you either have the choice of buying a home or pitching a tent out someplace in the middle of nowhere.
Well, that's an interesting situation you live in because you're in Florida, that you don't really have that problem. There is at least I don't know what the percentages are, but there is a large amount of homes and property available that is not within a homeowners association. So you really still in most of Florida have a viable choice.
But you
do have to trade out, and I agree with you. One of the biggest problems is in order to make that viable choice, you have to trade out the protection of your property value. There are just an innumerable amount of examples in Florida where folks would spend a lot of money on a nice home in a non-deed restricted community, and then their neighbor will build something less desirable, or more importantly, maintain it not as well as the one individual, and let the home become dilapidated and run down. And traditional methods of code enforcement are simply not adequate. So people who want to avoid that problem move into deed-restricted communities. And now, what you're talking about, you're right. If there's really no other option, that is kind of like saying that you don't have to have your telephone turned on. That doesn't make sense. Obviously, we've become so reliant on things like that.
It's a bit like like Henry Ford saying, you can have any color you want as long as it's a black car.
Exactly.
And that's essentially what we're dealing with. I mean, I used where I live in Fairfax County as an example, but that's not the only place. I mean, Loudoun has them. Even York County, Pennsylvania, which is predominantly rural, rural areas has mandates.
Sure.
And across the country now, just about every jurisdiction has discovered that, hey, this is such a neat way we get to collect taxes, and we don't have to provide anything for it. So they mandate associations.
Well, and I would never agree that government should mandate associations. If government wants to regulate what people put on their property, do it through land use and zoning.
I agree.
And then let the government deal with the enforcement of the land use and zoning. For government to say, hey, developer, if you're going to build in this area, you must do a deed-restricted community, I would have to say is just, to me, wrong.
But how would you fight something like that?
Well, therein is the biggest problem that I see in Florida, is the homeowner is at such a disadvantage. Even a citizen who's trying to fight the proliferation of homeowners associations is at a disadvantage, because it's the war chest mentality. Obviously, the only way in this country to redress your grievances is in the court system. The court system is cost prohibitive for most individual homeowners.
That's right.
And so it is not. I deal with it on a daily basis. Where, as a matter of fact, just yesterday I had a gentleman call me. His homeowners association is giving him a hard time on a roof issue. Now, I don't know if his roof issue is good, bad, or indifferent. I really have no idea, because I just spoke with him on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the roof issue is whether or not the problem with this gentleman getting an appeal on that issue is the cost of him challenging his own association. I had another guy call me who wanted to access the court system on an issue for local government, but it's the same problem. Just to get the petition that he needs to file and to do it appropriately is probably going to cost him $3,000. A lot of people don't have $3,000.
Yeah, and I know of one lady who's been fighting her association for a number of years, and she's up to $500,000 in legal fees.
Sure. Oh, it's, well, I have clients, and that gets into this scary part of this bill.
That's
foreclose.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, really what's, that's talk about having a hammer over people.
That's right.
Is that if they want to, I just recently wrote a letter to a friend of mine who I'm actually representing him in a case against his homeowners association. Now, the case is about them improperly assessing a special assessment for $388 for rebuilding a dock. That's what the case is about.
Okay.
There's only really, I think there's 35 or 36 voting members in this association.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to the approval of this dock was... like a 22, they just barely met the criterion for approving the special assessment to begin with. Well, when you started looking at the votes, there's all sorts of questions. I mean, the man had a legitimate question and beef with his association as to whether or not it actually passed. That means the special assessment passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the board of directors went ahead and did far beyond what they were authorized to do in the special assessment.
Yeah.
Now, we've been in that case for almost 3 years. Where we sit today is the court has ruled that the vote was correct, but the court has also ruled that the assessment was only valid to the extent that they stayed within the specific authority. In other words, he's agreed with us that they went beyond the authority.
Okay.
Problem I have now is this gentleman, the fees in that case have gone over $45,000